Welcome to the Property Beat, where real estate is part of your life. The coffee is hot, the conversation lively, and we're talking real estate. I'm your host, Cliff Perotti, along with co-host Jonathan Nicholas. Keeping us on track and out of trouble is our producer for the show, Tom McGowan. And now, on to the Property Beat. Good morning, everyone, to all of our listeners out there. As we all grab our cups of coffee, it's time for another dose of the Property Beat. Boy, and do I need some coffee? I don't know about you, Jonathan, but I know I do.
I absolutely.
Well, this is your host, Cliff Perotti, and I'm joined by my co-host, Jonathan Nicholas. Good morning, Jonathan.
Well, good morning, Cliff. I have not had my coffee this morning, so really in short supply. Yes, I have to. I guess relegating myself to water.
I stopped by Starbucks this morning and said, you know, I'd like to have a coffee. She goes, did you want to make that decaf? And I go, why? No, why? It's like 6 o'clock in the morning. I need coffee. What are you talking about?
I went by there late last night and I asked for a tall blonde and they kind of looked at me funny. Didn't realize they still serve a drink called the blonde, so anyway.
Well, that's hysterical. Well, folks, as you know, real estate is part of our lives and yours as well, and that's what we're going to be talking about here at the Property Beat. Today, we are going to delve into what we call turnkey real estate investment opportunities. These are starting to show up all over the U.S. in particular, and this is what, you know, if you think about it, for you folks that are thinking about investing or are actively doing it, you know, the average investor spends more time than money on their investing. They spend countless hours searching for the right investment, managing the right investment, trying to find the right management company and the plumbers and the whoever they need. Oh, my gosh. If you add that time into the formula, you are just really underwater a lot of times. So that's what turnkey real estate investments really solve, all of that kind of stuff for you. And so we're going to be joined by our guest, Kevin Conlon, co-founder of Meridian Pacific Properties. He's going to give us the scoop on turnkey investments. How do you like that scoop?
The scoop, yes, absolutely. And I know it's going to be exciting, and there's going to be a lot of people interested in hearing what Kevin has to say. We'd like to encourage you, with that in mind, to invite you to become part of the conversation here at the Property Beat. You can do that by just letting your fingers do the dialing, 347-989-0439. Again, 347-989-0439. We'll put you right on if you've got a question or a comment. And, of course, we crave feedback here at the Property Beat. Please give us some feedback. No. No. We love to hear comments. That's exactly right. Even if it is, you guys are nuts. Yeah. We'll take it. So you can also email any comments you have to questions@thepropertybeat.com, and you can download archived episodes out there on iTunes or on our website at thepropertybeat.com. Now, if you have a real estate need, we're going to be talking about a great big one today, and we're going to be bringing you a company that does this. But if you've got a general real estate need out there, take a look at our website. If you need professional help, and I mean that in a good way, just click on the Find an Agent tab at the top of the Property Beat website, and we'll put you in touch with a great agent in your area.
And before we get to our guest subject for today, we are going to share a couple of news stories right after this brief message. This week, start us off, Jonathan. What do you got?
Well, I've got a couple of things that have to do with the actual housing market out there. And, of course, the National Housing Affordability has reached an all all-time record high, which is kind of exciting. You know, every once in a while, I have had the pleasure in my career to have lived in a couple of the most affordable markets in the nation, and it seems like – is that a pleasure? Yeah. Is that really a pleasure? I don't know. But
I don't know.
but it's funny to see everybody vie for that moniker. Oh, you know,
that is
our town. Our town is the most affordable. Okay, well, that's fine. But the National Association of Home Builders and Wells Fargo Housing Opportunity Index, they did this research, and they found out that about 77.5% of all new and existing homes that were sold in this year's first quarter of 2012 were affordable to families earning the national median income of $65,000. Now, that beat all previous records set in the final quarter of 2011. So that's two consecutive quarters where we've had a great percentage of the buyers that were able to afford homes, more affordable options that were available out there in the marketplace right now. And I guess it goes back to what we were talking about last week, Cliff. The home buyer is competing with that investor out there for some of these great deals around the market.
Absolutely. That's for sure. Well, you know, in fact, let me just piggyback on that. I was picking up on an article that appeared in the Inman News yesterday about similar to the subject we're right in line with the subject we're talking about today. A company out of Memphis called Memphis Investment Properties, LLC, is developed this model that they're selling to overseas investors where they basically go in, this company will go in and buy groups of homes, refurbish them, and then get them all rented out and then offer a fully managed real estate home to overseas investors. And that's where the money's coming in for them, for their majority of their money. So, boy, they're not only competing with the home buyers, not only competing with a local investor right now, but the overseas guy looking to get money out of Greece. Oh, sorry.
Well, that okay.
Oh, now it's Portugal. Oh, now it's Spain. Oh, no, wait.
Isn't that the truth? I was talking to a gentleman the other day in regards to what he was doing in the real estate arena, and he is an agent down in Florida that works specifically and exclusively for foreign buyers, and I got to ask him about this, and I found out it's even more specific than what I had even realized. He only works with buyers from, get this, Norway. How many buyers could you have from Norway? And I asked him, he said, well, in the last 5 months, I've sold 31 properties to buyers from Norway. So, hey, if it's working for you, don't knock it.
Wow, that is absolutely true. Well, you know, the real estate market changes and kind of the you know, we're not out of this dip yet. We're starting to climb out gradually out of the hole, but there's always kind of this secondary role that occurs from the residential markets into the commercial markets. And I pulled up an interesting, there's a building out here that caught my attention, the Claremont Hotel in Oakland. I know you know the hotel. It's just a beautiful,
absolutely.
Beautiful old hotel, been around since 1915, and it's very famous. You've seen it in movies and so forth, but what's interesting is they went into bankruptcy last year. They got bought a couple of years ago by an investment trust that really was headed by J.P. Morgan. And this J.P. Morgan trust bought a bunch of hotels. The Claremont was one of them. Well, they're in bankruptcy, and now that hotel's on the marketplace for $80 million, which is a huge hotel. And what's interesting is $80 million also just gets you a condo in you know, maybe a single-family dwelling in Monte Carlo, or you can buy an entire hotel in the North Berkeley Hills. How about that? But this is one hotel. The other one that's really famous is the Arizona Biltmore in Phoenix is up for $250 million. So, you know, nobody was immune to this across the pricing bands out there, and it just was kind of it caught my attention because that hotel, because it's such a lovely old lady, and I love the Arizona Biltmore. So it's like, folks, if you have,
beautiful.
You know, if you're pushing around about $330 million, we got a deal for you.
Absolutely. I'm talking about prices. I just want to give a little bit of a warning out there about phantom home appreciation. Dun, dun, dun.
phantom home appreciation. Okay, I got to hear more on this.
You know, with everyone getting excited about the market and how it's starting to turn a little bit, you know, there's reports that are coming out here and there from various places, especially the National Association of Realtors, and you have to be careful how you interpret the data. And one of these things that they're touting right now is that home prices are up 10%. And so everyone runs out thinking, you know, homes are appreciating. And that's not necessarily true. As we've seen, inventories decline and more sales happen. Pricing has stayed relatively flat in most areas. So I just want to let you have a different perspective on this. Instead of saying 10% appreciation, which some of these groups are actually coming out and saying, it might be because there's more higher-end property that's beginning to sell, and we're talking about an average. So as the higher-end properties begin to sell, higher prices come in, it brings up the overall average, you know, that rising tide, you know, brings up all the boats with it. So definitely be careful about that. Don't jump onto that bandwagon just yet.
You know, I'm going to support you on that one because I think it's, you know, it's so funny. I just had a guy in here that was just looking at our board and our team board here. And as some of you may know, we run a production team here in Marin County that works San Francisco and Marin. And we were seeing in the, like maybe 3 or 4 months ago, our average sales price for the team was right in around the $500,000 to $600,000. Now we're upwards of about $900,000. So if you were to just say, well, the average sale is now up 50%, you go, wait a minute.
Right.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So you have to be careful with that and take heed, but be careful when you're investigating the marketplace.
Absolutely. Folks, we're going to be right back with our question of the week right after this.
J-E-L-L.
Extra, extra, extra good news. The makers of Jell-O have discovered a way to give you rich, luscious chocolate pudding far more easily and far more economically than ever before. With the new Jell-O chocolate pudding powder, you can make old-fashioned pudding, smooth, creamy, and chocolatey, just like the ones grandmother used to make back in the good old days. Now you can have them again, and this is all you have to do. Just combine the contents of a package of Jell-O chocolate pudding with some milk in the top of your double boiler, letting it cook until it becomes smooth and thick. When the mixture has cooled, serve it in sherbet glasses. You'll have enough for 6 helpings, and that means 6 happy people. Jell-O chocolate pudding is so simple, so inexpensive, and so downright delicious that you mustn't delay trying it. Ask your grocer for Jell-O chocolate pudding, and if he hasn't put it in stock yet, be sure he orders it for you. Remember the name, Jell-O chocolate pudding.
All right, welcome back from the folks at Jell-O Chocolate Pudding. I wonder if those people appreciate their live on the property. Do they know
I wonder. I wonder if Bill Cosby gets a check every time we play that.
All right. Well, folks, it's time once again for our question of the week. And as you know, we love to challenge our listeners with a question each week. And Jonathan, what was the question from our last episode?
Well, we had been talking about foreign investment, just as we have today. And we were asking in what country do the majority of foreign buyers of U.S. real estate reside? So where are they coming from? Where are they living now when they invest in the U.S.?
And the answer is?
Well, it was Norway, of course. No. It's not Norway. All 31 transactions that have happened this year have been from Norway. No, actually, it's much closer to home than what you think because we get to thinking worldwide. Well, actually, it's next door to the north, Canada, followed by Mexico to the south. So not as international as we would like to think.
Oh, please tell me this is some kind of practical joke.
We had a winner, Justin Davis of Plano, Texas. Is that Plano or Plano? Justin
Plano
will receive a Property Beat T-shirt and our love and forever undying gratitude for participating. So thanks, Justin. Good job. So I'm really kind of afraid to ask, but what's the question for this week?
What is the average diet of an inhabitant of Norway? Okay,
yeah.
So this question was actually posted to the Property Beat from a listener. Now, if you didn't realize it, you can go out there to thepropertybeat.com and post a question for us, and we will answer it on the air. Of course, we'll answer you before, so you don't have to wait 2 weeks to get the answer, but certainly we will answer it for you. Now, here's a couple. They're wanting to buy a home, and they want to pay off their new purchase as soon as they can, but not any longer than 15 years. So which is quicker for them, A, doubling the monthly principal payments, every single payment, you know, that they make, just double the principal. B, taking out a 15-year mortgage, since their timeline's 15 years anyway. Or C, making biweekly mortgage payments.
Okay, so a multiple choice question.
That's a very interesting question.
It is.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, I think I know the answer, but I'm not going to tell you. If you think you know the answer to this week's question, then send it in to us here at the show. You can do that by just emailing us at questions@thepropertybeat.com. And if you don't know the answer, look it up on our good friend Google. They'll tell you the answer.
Yeah.
We don't care if you cheat. Just get the answer into us. All right. Well, folks, we'll be right back with our guest, Kevin Conlon, right after this commercial break.
Pancake cookies, you're a famous man.
Well, all I do is bake them just as good as it can.
What is your secret, Mr. Pancake Man?
I sample them, ladies, one from each pan.
Choosing, fat shoving, there's more in the oven. Hey, Mom!
Put patty cake cookies on your shopping list.
Oatmeal, chocolate chip, and sugar mix. I'm seeing varieties on your market shelf.
Why, they're so good, you're lucky I don't eat them all myself.
Pancake cookies.
Blue cellophane package, you can see what you buy.
What makes the taste of good pancake pan?
Well, to tell the truth, I sample them, two from each pan.
All right. Welcome back to the property. I was listening to the ad. What makes them great is that they have cellophane package that you can look inside of. What?
I'm thinking that ad time was very, very cheap back then because those commercials go on and on.
Oh, Lord. Well, welcome back, folks, to the Property Beat. Our guest this week is Kevin Conlon, co-founder of Meridian Pacific Properties. Now, his company sells premium single-family real estate investment property to investors seeking high-performing alternative investment class as a solution for basically building some stable monthly income and building their wealth. Kevin's joining us from the San Diego area. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
Well, now, you know, I know you've heard our show, so we, you know that we like to throw you in front of the bus. First thing to just disarm you. So, as always, we like to ask our guests to start off by telling us something unusual about yourself or something that's interesting or cool or, you know, just something that most people don't know about you. What do you got for us?
Well, as far as interesting, that might be a short list, but unusual, you could probably write a book. One unusual thing is I'm an avocado farmer.
You know,
okay, so wait a minute.
I
in your backyard kind of avocado farmer, or where do you grow these at?
No, I actually live in the middle of an avocado farm up on a hillside, and they're past avocados, California's finest.
Wow.
That is great.
So how many acres do you have?
I have 5 acres, but I produce anywhere from 20 to 40 tons per year. So,
Oh, my God.
That's a lot of guacamole.
It's all you can eat guacamole all year out here.
Yeah, well, you know, now I'm wondering if your family, like, hates guacamole. Do they go, oh, Dad, not another avocado at the table, please?
Hey, you know, instead of giving benefits, we give avocados in our company.
Oh, there
you go.
I mean, they're expensive.
They are expensive. Wow. Good. Well, all right. So that's a little interesting. So we'd like to remind our listeners, if you have a question that you'd like to ask our guest today, you can dial in at 347-989-0439. Again, 347-989-0439, or email us at questions@thepropertybeat.com.
So, Kevin, you've got Meridian Pacific Properties that helps investors, and you've got the turnkey investment formula out there. But you yourself, you've got to have some history here. You must have started down this road by yourself as an investor. Tell me about that.
Well, I've been a real estate investor, since the early 80s. So it's been over 30 years now. And my real job for most of my career was high tech. So I was in the semiconductor capital equipment industry for over 25 years, but invested in real estate on the side. my last job was as CEO of a technology company here in Southern California, and just wanted to do something different with my life because, you know, when I passed the 50-year-old mark, I decided I wanted to gain more control over my time. And I was having lunch one day with one of my best friends, and he's actually my VP of sales, Jeff King. And we were having lunch, and he was telling me about some investing he was doing in real estate on the side in Mississippi. And I said, Mississippi?
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord, I could barely find that on a map.
And, or spell it.
And he said, don't laugh at me. He said, let me show you some of the numbers. And he was showing me how much cash flow he was getting relative to how much he was investing. And so I got curious because, again, I was taking time off from, from my previous career. And as I studied the numbers, you know, I got to thinking, you know, gosh, what if we made it possible to make cash flow real estate available to the average person who is not a real estate savvy investor? I mean, you know, we'd be the company doing all of the due diligence, the renovations, the analysis, and basically turn this into a turnkey investment so we do all the work so that someone else wouldn't have to do that. You know, I said, Jeff, you know, there could be a business that you could build around this. And he said, you know, you're right. And, you know, one thing led to another, and a few napkins later, we actually sketched out some ideas for how we might go about doing this. So we actually created the business in 2006, originally in Jackson, Mississippi, but have since migrated to Memphis, Tennessee, because it's got a much bigger market there. There are many more properties available because it's three times the size of Jackson, and the numbers work equally well.
How long did it take you to kind of settle into your little investment formula, you know, to get comfortable with it and see that it's really beginning to turn the returns?
It probably took until, gosh, about 2009 before we really started hitting our stride and got our model refined. Because, again, anytime you start a new business venture, especially one that really hasn't been tried quite the way we were doing it before, you make mistakes and you learn from them. Now, fortunately,
right,
up until that point, Jeff and I both had over 20 years of experience in real estate investments, so we weren't exactly starting from scratch. But when you try and achieve a standard of excellence that, you know, the market just hasn't seen in this kind of business, you make mistakes and you learn from them.
Well, it sounds like you worked the average investor that just goes out there because they get excited or they go to some hotel meeting, you know, rah-rah, you know, let's invest in real estate or no money down and all that. But you actually looked at this, number one, as a business, but number two, you had goals and you had things that you needed to, you know, like indicators you were keeping your eye on. So you mentioned excellence. Give me an idea of what that's about.
Well, our notion was that we wanted to provide premium turnkey investment properties to investors seeking to invest in high-quality, positive cash flow real estate to fulfill their income needs for retirement and for building wealth. If you think about it, people have had a pretty rough run over the last 10 years in the stock market.
Absolutely.
And, I personally had a rough run, and I think I have a lot of company out there in the listening audience here today.
Sure.
And I noticed, and you know, Jeff noticed this as well, that over the course of time, real estate was actually the highest performing and most stable portion of our investment portfolios. But it's not something that people normally invest in. It's what is known as an alternative investment class because it's not correlated with what happens in the stock market necessarily.
Sure.
So if you're going to invest in real estate, again, having done it for a number of years prior to forming the business, you learn through the school of hard knocks what not to do and also what to do. So we put together a model of how you properly analyze a property. When you get a return from investment real estate, in single family, you're typically getting it through one of three ways. One is the appreciation, which is what most people think about when they think about investing in real estate, because they've watched enough episodes of Flip That House to where that's their paradigm for how you make money.
Absolutely.
But you can also do it. You can also do it from cash flow. And if you invest in the right area of the country, in the right metropolitan area, you can get incredible cash flow. And in other areas, not so much. In fact, out where I live in California, and you know, in places like New York, you know, properties don't cash flow.
Absolutely.
That's the second way you do it. And a third way you make money is if you leverage. In other words, if you put money down and you get a mortgage on a property and you're using other people's money to help acquire the asset using a small amount of your own money, you know, your down payment, each month you make that mortgage payment, part of that mortgage payment is going to principal.
Okay? Sure.
So it's principal plus interest. So that principal ultimately is going to be a return to you. Your tenant is paying your debt down for you. So it's mm-hmm. the third way that you make money in investment real estate. So being the engineers that we were out of the high-tech world, we did an awful lot of quantitative analysis. And in fact, if you look at our work, you'll see an awful lot of statistical analysis where we actually calculate means and standard deviations of our returns, and we calculate internal rates of return. And, you know, we use relatively sophisticated math to gauge the performance of our investments, and we learn from our business model what variables you need to go in there and manage in order to, you know, drive your investment returns.
Absolutely. Now, you obviously got to thinking at one point, you know, this is a good idea, this is working for us, now let's open it up to some other people. And what caused that shift in your thinking, and how did you go about doing that?
There were so many people that I had known, you know, just in my social circles, and again, I was the CEO of a company, so I hung out with some fairly well-heeled people who were all fretting about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm a baby boomer, and a lot of my, you know, colleagues were baby boomers, or at least older Gen Xers, and they're always saying, geez, you know, I realize that I'm not going to live forever now, and I'm not going to work forever. You know, retirement isn't just some mythical mythical thing that's going
to
happen.
I don't know.
To
it sounds
people.
Pretty mythical to me right now. I think
yeah.
it's a legend.
Yeah. Well, no, it became real. And also, you know, after being knocked around in the stock market and losing, you know, in some cases, it was common to hear stories of people losing six and seven figures in the stock market. People were getting really worried about that. And, you know, what I was thinking to myself is, geez, the highest performing part of my portfolio and the most stable was real estate. Okay, and I actually went back and did the math and, you know, kind of looked historically how my own real estate had performed, because variously I had invested in California in the early days, and then in Texas, and then Mississippi, and then eventually Tennessee. And as I went through that migration, I made all of those moves for very specific reasons and really refined my personal business model to achieve high performance. And I was thinking, gosh, you know, this could be a great solution if we could make real estate available to people who aren't so-called real estate people.
Right.
You know, they're W-2 employees who have their day jobs, and they're good at their day jobs, and their time is valuable to them. They don't want to spend a lot of time becoming experts in real estate and learning all of the nuances on how to do it right. And we thought, gosh, if we can, you know, find properties that return as well as the ones we own personally and make those available to non-real estate people, you know, people who mm-hmm. normally invest in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and, you know, the traditional investments that 95% of America invests in, if we could do that, I think there'd be some serious demand for this, because people, when they retire, they want that monthly check coming in, and they don't want a lot of variability year over year, because if, you know, you have a bad run in the stock market, you're out of runway. You don't get a chance to make it up.
Yeah,
but,
true.
In real estate, it's much less volatile. So
Okay, well, Kevin, let me stop you right there. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with our guest, Kevin Conlon, right after this.
Fruit juicy. Hey, how about a nice Hawaiian punch?
Sure.
New taste. Seven kinds of fruit in Hawaiian punch. Seven kinds of fruit in Hawaiian punch. Hawaiian punch is made with seven kinds of fruit for a one-of-a-kind fruit taste.
Hawaiian Punch Fruit Punch with 10% real fruit juice for a real fruit juicy taste.
Hawaiian Punch is made with seven kinds of fruit
for a one-of-a-kind fruit taste.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Property Beat, where we are talking with Meridian Pacific's properties founder, Kevin Conlon. So, Kevin, kind of give me an overview. So who's your target client, and how do you find these investors, if you will, or these people?
Well, most of our investors, as I mentioned earlier, are baby boomers. So these are people who are now in their 50s and 60s. We also have a number of Gen Xers, mostly in their 40s. And we actually have investors who are trying to build wealth who are in their 30s. And they're holding down pretty good jobs. Typically, they are people who are doing Google searches for alternative investments or positive cash flow, real estate, or you know, things like that. They find us on the internet. We engage with them, and that's typically how most of our clients start. And beyond that, it's all referrals because these people tell their friends.
Yeah, are your clients, you mentioned the baby boomers is a big segment. I can imagine a lot of those people who have been very disenchanted with the stock market, which I think you mentioned earlier, where, you know, they've watched their 401ks and their various SEP IRAs just evaporate over the last few years. They're now kind of going the other direction, going, hey, you know what, I'd rather have some stability and know that my principal is going to be there while I get my return rate that I'm going to get. Is that a pretty common voice you're hearing out there?
I hear that all the time.
Yeah. Now, describe a typical property. So an investor comes to you and says, okay, I want to play in your program. Tell me about what the typical investment looks like with you guys.
Okay. Well, our operations, as I mentioned, are in Memphis, Tennessee.
Right.
The properties that we sell, the particular segment that we've targeted, most of our properties are between $100,000 and $140,000.
Now, where is that in the price band in Memphis? Is that the upper end? Is it the middle range? Where is it?
This is within roughly plus or minus 20% of the median price.
All right,
in Memphis.
Good.
And we do that very deliberately. There's method to that madness.
All right.
And we typically interview the client and say, okay, what are your investment objectives? I mean, why did you become interested in what you read about us on the internet? And typically we hear that they have a certain nest egg that they've accumulated over time, and there's a portion of that nest egg that they would be interested in investing in an alternative investment such as real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And we try and pin down, if they have a particular monthly income goal or whatnot, and back into, okay, what property portfolio would work for them to solve their income needs in retirement. Mm-hmm. And so we actually go back and we look at the properties that we have in inventory and look at their financial needs. And if they have any personal preferences related to the properties, we make note of those. You know, some people like one-story houses, some people like all brick houses, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, we're recommending properties based on the numbers, the cash flow they generate.
Okay, so you mentioned the word inventory. Are these properties that have you guys already acquired these properties, and then are you reselling them to these investors?
Yes, our business model is that we acquire the properties in very desirable locations. We renovate them, and we have our own crews that we manage.
Mm-hmm.
We put tenants and property management in place.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a rent-paying tenant in a renovated home, and that is the asset that we place in inventory and offer for sale to investors. So they actually own the property after the transaction and collect rent you'll collect cash flow, I should say.
Okay. So I'm just trying to, I'm just kind of making sure I understand the process. Typically from the time that you go and you buy a property to the time that you actually have been able to, in essence, I won't say flip it, but you don't understand what I'm saying. When we say
sure.
You've turned it over, you've gone and you renovated, you got it occupied, and it's all good with the revenue stream. What's your turnaround time typically before, and does an investor see that as an upcoming inventory, or is it, do you only make it available once they've been through that stage?
We try to make our properties available to them after we have done everything and the tenant is in place and paying rent. Although we lately have experienced high levels of demand, so we actually have to show properties that are in our pipeline that we own, but we're perhaps in some stage of renovation or getting the property ready for tenanting or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But we know the numbers pretty accurately. Even before we buy a property, we know how the property is going to perform.
Well, we've got a question from a listener out here, Carol Estridge. She's emailing us, and she's asking a question for Kevin. I've played around, she says, with acquiring undervalued properties, rehabbing them, then turning those for profit. So it sounds like she's been doing the typical flipping game. It seems I put a lot of effort and stress into this to make the profit. How does your strategy different? Or how is it different, I guess?
One thing that helps is when you do this full-time and you create a business, there's an entire infrastructure that you have to create in order to perform at a very high level. Because when you're doing this work, you have to make note of, okay, where are the rents, the very highest, relative to every dollar that you invest? What are the taxes? What's the insurance? How old are the properties? Where are the good neighborhoods? What's going on in the local economy? What's the unemployment rate? You get the idea. There are several variables that you need to study. Once you've selected a particular property, then you have to go dealing with renovating. Well, when you do hundreds of homes, which is what we do, you kind of get the renovations down. You know how to do it. The mistakes that you commonly make when you first start renovating, you don't make those by your 50th house.
Yeah.
So as a result, you find that you become very efficient at the how much you pay for the home, how much you spend on your renovations, how you control your holding costs, and so on. So again, when you're doing this over and over, you get good at it, and consequently, you're able to offer a property that an investor can make money on, but also as the supplier of the property, which we are, we're able to sell the properties for somewhat more than we have in them, and that's how we get paid. So we don't charge any commissions or anything like that.
Well, folks, we'd like to remind our listeners that if you have a question you'd like to ask our guest, Kevin Conlon of Meridian Pacific Properties, you can simply call in to us at 347-989-0439. Again, 347-989-0439. Folks, we'll be right back after this quick message.
Nap, what a happy sound. Nap is the happiest sound I've found. Me clap, rap. Like Krispies. I say it's Crackle, the crispy sound. You gotta have Crackle or Spock's not found. Snap, Crackle, like Krispies. I insist that Pop's the sound. The best was missed unless Pop's around. You can't stop hopping and the stereo's popping.
Kellogg's best to you. Wow, those guys are some busy guys. All right, well, welcome back to the Property Beat, where we're talking real estate and turnkey real estate investments with Kevin Conlon, our guest. If you have questions or comments, you can email us at questions@thepropertybeat or call in live at 347-989-0439.
Well, we got a little bit of a feel there, Kevin, for what your company's doing and how it's helping investors. And I think I can see now more clearly, and hopefully our listeners can too, what a turnkey investment is, because that's what you're offering. You walk in, you've got the tenant in place, you've got the rent coming in, you're buying a renovated property, which is hopefully going to be less maintenance for you in the first few years of your investment. So that is great. Now, a little bit about your investors. Are you finding that all these are like the accredited investor type, or is it just your hardworking, you know, blue collar types? Who's your average client that you're putting into these properties?
Well, if you speak in terms of averages, typically they're accredited investors, you know, meaning they're,
okay,
they're well into six-figure incomes. They typically have a net worth greater than $1 million. I would say average for our investors is probably $2 or $3 million.
Okay.
But just like any collection of investors, you have a bell curve. We have a number of investors who are, you know, people of much more modest means that have net worths of, you know, say in the $500,000 range, and they're making $70K or $80K a year. And you know, they may buy, you know, just you know, one or two properties instead of seven or eight, like many of our investors do.
Absolutely. Is there a magic number that they're looking for as far as return on investment? You know, percentage, 8%, 10%, 12%, or how do they typically, you know, when they come to you, are they saying that's what they need? What is it that they're looking for?
Well, typically when they do a Google search and they find our website, they find that we advertise returns just on the cash flow, you know, not counting appreciation and not counting pay down of the debt. We're advertising returns of 10 to 12%. And for most people, that they're thrilled with that, because in a world,
sure,
where CDs are paying almost nothing,
right,
you know, 1% returns, you know, inflation eats, you know, that's not what retirement dreams are made of.
Right.
And, you know, the stock market has, again, it all depends on when you bought and when you sold, and most people don't make good choices in the stock market. So they, you know, the notion of getting a relatively stable 10 to 12% return is very attractive to most people.
Right, absolutely. It's outperforming a lot of other investments, like you say. Now, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, you've got a renovated property, you've got a tenant in there, and I'm thinking the tenant's got it pretty good too. I mean, there's got to be some success stories even for the tenants in these properties that are able to get into a property, maybe even a long-term solution for them until they're able to buy in the future. Are you seeing some of that turnover as well?
Well, yes. A lot of these tenants really want to be home buyers, because the reason why an investor makes so much cash flow is because the tenant's rent is way higher than their principal, interest, taxes, and insurance would be if they could be home buyers. But because of the economy, a lot of the tenants who, you know, many of them used to be homeowners, but, you know, somebody lost their job and then they lost their house and they weren't able to buy anymore, even though they desperately want to, because that would lower their, you know, their monthly outgo on housing by, you know, gosh, $400 a month in many cases, and that's a lot of money to somebody that's making $40,000 or $50,000 per year.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're taking these homes, turning them into very attractive homes. I mean, by the time we're done with our renovations, these really are the nicest homes on the block. I mean, you know, our visitors to Memphis are amazed at how much the homes look and feel like absolutely new homes. And, of course, the tenants love that.
Yeah, that's true.
We got a question, a written email in from John in Cincinnati, who says he's been invested in Jacksonville, Florida, but wants to invest elsewhere. What should he be looking for in a market?
Well, there are several factors that one looks at when you're trying to figure out where to invest. And in most cases, it's rarely in your own backyard. I think the biggest factor is probably what we call the rent ratio. It's basically how much rent do you get for every dollar that you invest. We like to see rent ratios greater than 0.95%. So, you know, for example, if I had a $100,000 house and I was getting $1,000 a month in rent, I take 1,000 divided by 100,000. That's 1%. So that meets the criteria. You also want to look at factors like taxes. You know, Texas, for example, has great rent ratios, but the taxes are, you know, two or three times higher than they are in a place like Memphis. So you look at that. You look at insurance rates. Okay, this is why we aren't in Florida, for example, because of Florida being in a hurricane zone, insurance rates kill your cash flow. Mm-hmm. Then you start looking at factors like, you know, how old the properties are and the price range in which you want to invest. You need to look at specific locations within the metropolitan statistical area that you're investing in. You have to pay very close attention to what's going on in the local economy. I mean, there's some great deals in Detroit right now, but it's not a place I would be investing.
Oh, my God. Well, that's funny you should say that, because I just read an international blog talking about how people should be investing in Detroit. Lord.
Again, I'm a conservative investor. I wouldn't put anybody into a property that I wouldn't be happy owning myself. And in fact, all the properties that we market are in places where, you know, my partner and I, Jeff, have our own personal properties.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on in that local economy is really important.
So now I like the 1% rule. I've always thought that was a very simple, down and dirty, quick way for people to figure out whether this was going to cash flow or not. Are there other marketplaces other than Memphis that you do like?
You know, generally when you look at the numbers, and again, there are 366 metropolitan statistical areas. You know, the largest urban centers in the country, and there's a lot of information available online about median home prices and rents in those markets. So it's not a terribly difficult exercise to go into Excel and, you know, run the numbers. But what you find is that most of the best investment locales are in the midsection of the country. It's not on the West Coast. It's not like in...
wait a minute.
Homes don't cash flow on the West Coast.
Yeah,
you have the same problems, particularly in the Northeast. You know, the ban from Washington through Boston, properties don't cash flow very well there either. So it's really the midsection of the country, and within the midsection, you find some of the very best numbers actually in the Mid-South and the Deep South. But even there, you have to be very careful because, again, if you were to go, say, to Atlanta, you have to be very careful about where in Atlanta, but there are some neighborhoods that I think are suitable for investment in a place like that. Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana, I mean, there are a lot of areas, particularly in that part of the country. When you start getting into the northern part of the midsection of the country, you start having issues with climate, okay, because in cold weather climates, you're dealing with snow, you're dealing with frozen pipes and burst pipes and so forth, and that hurts your cash flow, when you have higher maintenance. So it's really the midsection of the country where most of the best opportunities are, I think.
Well, just even...
Suffering succotash!
Yeah, the people in Tennessee will be glad to hear this. So, it sounds like you've given a lot of thought into the placement of that investment capital. Now, were there any moments in your company's history, and tell us how long you've been at this in terms of your organization, and is there any time when you had to kind of step back and rethink what you were doing or readjust your investment formula?
Oh, absolutely. I've been at this for over 30 years. My partner Jeff's been at it for, I think 25. So we've done this for a long time. But after we formed the business and really tried to optimize investment property as investments for investors, the big learning moment, I think, was when we identified that there really is a sweet spot in which to invest. When we started out, we started out in Jackson, Mississippi, and we began investing in properties that were priced well under the median home price.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, coming from California, where again the area where I live in, the median price is over $400,000. So,
when right.
somebody showed me a house that I could buy for $50,000. I didn't know there was such a thing.
Right.
I mean, it was very exciting, and I was very attracted to these lower cost houses. And so I started, Jeff and I both started buying personal properties in Jackson in these low price ranges, because the median in Jackson was right around 100,000, and we were buying at about half the median.
Hmm.
Well, what we found is that when you get I'll say, suckered into buying these lower priced homes, you get a very different kind of tenant, because the way property managers typically qualify their tenants is that they're saying, okay, the rent on this is $600 a month, so you need to make three times the rent. Okay, so you need mm-hmm. to make $1,800 a month. Well, if your household income is under, household income, mind you, is under, $24,000 a year, you're not working in a very high-end job.
Right.
And consequently, you're not occupying a position of responsibility. Also, your ability to keep your job when you're in a lower income range is more problematic. You probably yep. have less education. You probably were raised a little differently by your parents in terms of being taught responsibility and so on. But when you're dealing with somebody that's making $40,000 or $50,000 or $60,000 a year in a low cost of living area,
mm-hmm.
You're a member of the middle class. You're
yeah.
typically more educated, have a more responsible job, and you take better care of the properties. You take your rent obligations seriously. And so the maintenance and vacancy expenses are way lower in the premium properties than they are in these lower cost properties. And that is the sweet spot. It's plus or minus 20% of the median for the particular metro area in which you're considering investing.
Good, good. Now, do you feel, given the marketplace and what you're seeing and experiencing out there, is this a stable business, or should an investor expect some, some periodic adjustments, so to speak, is a nice way of putting it?
Well, stability is all relative. It's not
sure.
as stable as a CD,
right? Right.
But it is way more stable than the stock market. In fact, statistically, the volatility of a real estate investment in a place like Memphis, where we are,
mm-hmm.
the volatility is about 1/3 of the S&P 500. 1/3.
Mm.
Okay. And so, as a long-term investment, and again, we've gone back as many as 40 years to study the standard deviations of the returns of
mm-hmm.
the various markets that we are interested in, and Memphis is one of the most stable of the markets out there. And again, the past is no guaranteed indicator of the future, but certainly it's an important data point. So while we expect variability based on our own statistical analysis of the properties we sold investors, we looked at 64 years worth of data recently on properties our investors own, and their mean return was 13.6%. But
wow.
importantly, the standard deviations of their, again, these are cash flow returns, the standard
right.
deviations were plus or minus 3%. What that means in layman's terms is that 2/3 of the time, those investors can expect a return that is between about 10% and about 16.5%.
Wow.
And
now, I've got to ask the question that I've just been dying to ask. Is there a correlation between the investment return for a Memphis property and the performance of the Titans?
Yeah. Well, I hope not.
Well, I just had to ask. It was just on my. I was just thinking. Oh, I wonder if they make more money. Oh, that's hysterical. So, what advice would you give a first-time investor? I mean, just give us two or three key points that you would give an investor, the first-time person.
If you're a first-time investor, the first and foremost, I would start by working with a proven professional company that is a company of character and integrity that knows their business.
Mm-hmm.
It all seems so easy when you watch Flip That House. Oh, geez, I could do that.
Yeah.
You know, I
you only see the ones
doing.
That work. You don't see, hey, we know that guy was went bankrupt, didn't he? I recall.
Well, no. It's what they don't tell you that gets you in trouble.
As a
new investor, the thing that is going to get you in trouble is what you don't know that you don't know. Oh, geez, I didn't know I was supposed to check to see if the home was in a flood zone or not.
Yeah.
You know, because now I've doubled my insurance rates, or I didn't think to check the tax rates on the home, or I forgot to do the termite inspection. I mean, there are all these mistakes that you can make, and there are a number of companies that are in our business, but I would encourage people to really vet the company and the people behind it. Make sure that they are people of character and integrity. I mean, first and foremost, and who are experts in the business. The second thing I'd do is I would learn the math behind investing in real estate. It's not hard. In fact, on our website, we lay out exactly how you are supposed to analyze a property. But you need to learn the critical success factors. Regarding location. And what constitutes a quality renovation if you're holding it for investment, which is different than if you're trying to sell it to homeowners. You renovate differently.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And I guess the final point is, two other points. One is hire excellent property management, because your investment experience after you've renovated the home is going to be all about how good your property managers are at controlling maintenance and vacancy. And finally, it's learn from the lesson I spoke of earlier and invest in the sweet spot. Be within plus or minus 20% of the median price for the area in which you're investing.
All right, great. Well, folks, if you'd like to join in our conversation, just give us a call at 347-989-0439. We're here with Kevin Conlon, co-founder of Meridian Pacific Properties, talking turnkey investments.
Well, it's talking about demand and supply. What do you think, Kevin, as far as the sustainability of this model, availability of properties there in the Mid-South where you're at? Is that going to be okay over the ensuing five years or so?
Well, I think the economy is still in some pretty deep soup, and there is still a large amount of foreclosure inventory that can't all hit the market at once. So I think for the next several years, we're going to see very excellent investment opportunities, but that window will close. And the big thing to watch is the unemployment rate. I mean, as unemployment, more correctly stated, as the employment picture brightens, more people will be able to afford houses, and things will get back to, quote, normal, unquote. So
Kevin, if our investors and out there in the world want to know more about your service as we kind of get to our end of our show here, how can they do that? How can they find out more about your company or your services?
Well, one good place to check is our core website. It's
www.meridianpacificproperties.com. Meridianpacificproperties.com, okay.
All right. We also have a great educational blog. It's called investmentpropertycentral.org. So you'll find between our company website and our educational blog site some terrific resource tools for investors, whether you're a beginning investor or an experienced investor, or you can follow us on Twitter at our Twitter handle is at Meridian Pack.
There you go. Folks, well, we'd like to thank our listening audience for tuning in today's episode, and we'd like to thank you, Kevin Conlon, our guest. It's been a pleasure, and thanks for sharing some of your wisdoms with us and for joining us today.
Thank you for the opportunity to be on your show. It's a great show.
No problem. Well, folks, that's it for today. Well, that's a wrap for our show today, folks. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Property Beat. We'd like to remind you that if you have any questions you'd like answered on our next show, you can simply email us at questions@thepropertybeat.com. You can also follow our blog at thepropertybeat.com, where you'll get news, tips, and stories about today's real estate industry. For now, I'm your host, Cliff Perotti, along with Jonathan Nicholas, saying so long. Thanks for tuning in. Okay, guys, we're going to end this right now.